Well, good morning. What an exciting morning, all these baptisms. It's good to have you here. This morning, I think I've got a sneeze coming on. No, it's gone. Okay, this morning, sorry about that. There we go. Sorry about that, sir. The kids are back at school. Everyone's got a cold. I actually haven't got a cold. I was pretending, in case you didn't know. But my daughter has got a cold, and so I'll have one within the week. And it's horrible having a cold, isn't it? It is horrible having a cold. Do you know the story of Mr. Sneeze? Mr. Sneeze has a cold. He lives in Coldland, a place that sounds suspiciously like Scotland. And it's cold all of the time. And he has a cold all of the time, and it's horrible. And he goes on a journey a long, long way away to a nice warm country. I mean, it's not England, is it? But then he goes to a nice warm country, and he finds that his cold just disappears. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to do that, to find a country where we never caught colds? And some people have sicknesses that are even more horrible than colds. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to find a country, to live in a place where no one ever got a sickness like that? And wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a place where no one was ever mean to each other? Because I think it could be even worse than being sick when people are mean to you. And people are mean to each other, aren't they? And do you know some people, that there is real evil in this world? I'm sorry if I'm the first to tell you that, but there is real evil in this world. And the Bible says that behind all the evil in the world lies the devil and his evil power. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a place free from sickness and free from evil? A place where everybody is healthy, and even better, where everybody is kind to one another. And do you know what? Jesus says that he is the king of a kingdom just like that. And if we start following him now, we will one day live in his kingdom, free from evil and free from sickness. And we're going to hear a bit of the Bible. Phil's going to come and read to us a bit of the Bible where Jesus goes around showing people that he's the king and showing people what his kingdom is going to look like. Phil's going to read from Mark chapter 1. We've got some pictures to go along with the reading. Come on up, Phil, and we'll see if we can make the pictures match as Phil reads. Go for it.
So I'm reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 34, which you can find on page 1008 in your church Bibles. So Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 34. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." and the unclean spirit convulsed him, and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread elsewhere, everywhere, throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, what amazing things Jesus did in those stories. And they are true stories. And they show us that Jesus really is the king, and that his kingdom is going to be free from evil and sickness. We'll try and act out some of those stories, just so we're clear on what happened. Now we need a boat. This can be our boat. We're going to need some volunteers in just a moment. Let's put the boat over here. And then we're going to need some people to put this with the boat. And we'll put this over here. Now, can I have a couple of volunteers? I need some people to sit in the boat. In fact, can we have the Nash family? Caleb, can you come on up? There we go. Now, this is Zebedee. And we want your two valuable sons, James and John. Could you sit in the boat here for us? And then we need your hired hand. That's Nate. You sit facing this way. You guys, do you want to stand sort of behind the boat there? And we need another pair of brothers. We need Simon and Andrew. Can we have... Yeah, come on then. You can come on up here. And Northern Zoe, do you want to come? Here we go. You can stand behind here. I thought about, do you want to come behind here? And you can do your magnetic fishing. I thought about trying to get some fish for the baptistry, but health and safety overruled. You come back, come around this side, and then people can see what you're doing. Excellent. And we need Jesus. And if I don't let my daughter be Jesus, we'll never hear the last of it. So Eliza, come on up. And this is this may look like a tea towel. It is an authentic first century piece of headgear. There we go. And hold that. Excellent. Okay. Now let's see what happens. You guys, you're supposed to be mending nets. I didn't have any nets, so you're mending net curtains. I hope that's okay. You get mending those, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Right. Now let me read from verse 16, and we'll see what happens. You wait here, Jesus. And then you can come with me. Okay, verse 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea. Possibly magnetic fishing rods, we're not sure. For they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them,
"Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men."
Very good. And you're just going to drop your rods. Brilliant. And stand behind Jesus. You're going to follow him. Well done. Very good. Okay. Just like that. Immediately. Can you believe it? Follow me. And they just followed him. Okay. Next verse. I'm going along a little further. Come along a little further, Jesus. That's right. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending their net curtains. And immediately he called them. It doesn't say what he said. Can you say oi very loudly?
Oi,
that's right. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat, just dropped the nets, left the hired servant, well, nobody cares about him, and followed along. But I know what it's like being the youngest in the family. No, it's hard work, isn't it? You're treated like... Anyway. And followed him, just like that. Jesus calls, and people follow him. Now, you're just going to have to wait here quietly. When I was little, not that long ago. I loved having a bath. I still do love having a bath, actually. And when I've been in the bath, you know, a couple of hours, and my fingers are all wrinkly like prunes. You know what that's like? Scientists don't know why that happens. They probably do. I don't. And the water was stone cold, and my mummy would say to me, "Stephen, it's time to get out of the bath." And I would just jump to my feet safely, obviously, it's slippery. Just get out of the bath. Just like that. Do you believe that? No, I didn't do that. I wasn't very good at getting out of the bath. I'd say, "Oh, just another minute, mummy. Just another minute in the bath." And mummy would say, "I'm going to count down from 5, and you need to be out of the bath. 5, 4. Put down the soap, Stephen. 3. Put down the duck, Stephen. 1.5. 1.75. I never got very good at getting out of the bath. I got quite good at fractions, but I never got very good at getting out of the bath. But when Jesus says to these fishermen, "Follow me," they just drop everything and they follow him. Somehow, they recognize that he is the king. That's the first thing we see in these verses. Jesus is the king. And the next thing we see is what kind of kingdom he has. Now, Zebedee and your hired servant, you can go and sit down. No, leave those, because that boat is going to turn into a sick bed. Can we have a mother-in-law? One more volunteer. Brilliant. Yes, come on over. There we go. Here we are, mother-in-law. Now, I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling too well. Can you lie down here? There we go. The Fisher Price medical kit. That's yours. Well, actually, before it was yours, it was mine. This has done generations of boons. So don't put this in your mouth, because goodness knows how many boons have had that in their mouth over the years. Can we put it under your arm? Maybe this is your thermometer. There we are. Let's put a flannel on your forehead. There we go. I'm sorry you're feeling so poorly. You just wait there for a minute. We'll do one other thing before we come to you, so just hang in there. Before that bit, Jesus went into the synagogue. Did you hear Phil read this bit out? He went to the synagogue, a bit like church. Jewish people came on a Saturday to hear the Bible taught. And do you remember from the reading, Jesus met someone who had a terrible problem. Jesus met a man who had an unclean spirit living in him. And the devil doesn't seem to work like this mostly today, but when Jesus was on earth, he did it a lot. In some way, this man was particularly under the influence of the devil. How terrible to live in a world that's full of evil. But Jesus said to the unclean spirit, maybe I'll take this off you at this point. Jesus said to the unclean spirit, "Be silent and come out of him." And just like the fisherman in the previous story, just like that, the unclean spirit obeyed him. And the man was freed from the power of evil. That's the kind of kingdom that Jesus has. Jesus' kingdom is free from evil. And it's free from something else. Okay, actors, are you ready? So mother-in-law, you're hanging in there. You're right under there. Okay. So next bit of the story, let me read the next few verses. Verse 29. And immediately Jesus left the synagogue. We've left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew. Okay, brilliant. Come along here. There we go. We've gone into the house. He entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. We won't worry about the thermometer. There we go. Yeah, good. Thank you, doctor. And immediately they told Jesus about the mother-in-law, and he came and took her by the hand. Can you stand around there, grab her hand? That's right. Don't slip on the net curtains. And he lifted her up. That's right. Well done. And the fever left. That's right. We don't need the flannel. We don't need the thermometer. And she began, thank you, to serve them. Here's some food. Can you dish out your food to your hungry fishermen over here? There we are. Well done. Serving the fishermen. Just like, look at her. Look at her. A moment ago, terrible fever in bed. Now she's serving people. Just like that. No course of antibiotics. 3 times a day for 6 weeks, whatever it is. No painkillers, no paracetamol for the lingering headache. Why are there no painkillers in the jungle? Because the paracetamol. And she's like, she's saying, "Boys, you must be hungry." And she's dishing out the food. Amazing. What a turnaround. Sick to serving, just like that. That is the kind of kingdom that Jesus has. Jesus' kingdom is free from sickness. Jesus' kingdom is free from sickness. Last few verses now, we won't act them out, but a little summary of what we've just seen. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Jesus is the king of a kingdom free from sickness and evil. Wouldn't you love to live in a world like that? I would, and I will. And so will you if you follow Jesus, because Jesus is the king of a kingdom free from sickness and evil. I'm going to sing about that now, and there's one other thing to say, but actors, you can all go and sit down. Thank you very much for your help. And musicians up, and let's sing. Do take a seat. Nice to have another blowing your nose sound effect at the end there, Craig. Thank you. Well, a minute ago, we saw that Jesus is the king. Let's have the PowerPoint up. We saw that Jesus is the king of a kingdom free from sickness and evil. How wonderful it will be to live in a world where no one gets a cold, or a sickness worse than a cold, where there's no more evil. And no one is mean to each other. The question is, how do you make sure that you're a part of that amazing kingdom? Let's listen to the last bit of our passage. Phil, if you want to come up now, and then we will think about how the whole passage answers the question. Come on up. Jesus has done all those incredible miracles we just heard about, and the whole city's been crowded at the door of whichever house he was in so they could bring him all their sick and those with demons. And then it says this, Phil.
So continuing Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there Jesus prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Phil. Everyone's looking for Jesus because they want him to heal more people and to cast out more demons, and he's going to keep doing those things. But Jesus says that his main aim, the main reason he came, was to preach, to speak words. I've already seen the power of Jesus' words throughout the passage, haven't we? Do you remember? He said, "Follow me," to those fishermen. The PowerPoint on the screen. And they didn't say, "We'll come in a minute." What did the fishermen do? What did the fishermen do when Jesus said, "Follow me"? Do you remember what they did? Yeah, they followed him just like that. They dropped everything and followed him. And that's how powerful Jesus' words are. And do you remember the bit when Jesus went into the synagogue? It says, we should have a picture of Jesus in the synagogue, I think, somewhere. It says, they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. Which is why I think in the synagogue picture, Jonathan, do we have that? There we go. Can you see the scribes? Yeah, there's the fisherman. There's the synagogue. There we go. You can see the scribes are looking a bit grumpy down there. And they're the people who normally teach the people. And everyone's talking about how Jesus' teaching is different from their teaching. That's why they look a bit grumpy. Doesn't necessarily mean they were rubbish teachers. Craig is a really, really good piano teacher. Everyone have Craig as their piano teacher? There's a few in this room. Yeah, there's some other good piano teachers in this room as well, actually. Imagine you're learning a piece by Mozart. And you ask Craig, "How should I play this bit?" And Craig knows a bit about Mozart. He said, "Well, actually, I think you should play it a little bit faster. I think it'd sound better." And he'd probably be right. But then imagine Mr. Mozart himself came into your lesson. And he could teach as one who had authority, because he wrote the piece. And he'd say, "Nine, I was thinking it would have got much slower," or whatever Mozart talks like. And the scribes weren't necessarily terrible at teaching God's word, but when Jesus taught it, it's like you're hearing from the guy who wrote it. He taught as one who had authority because he's the author. And Jesus did write God's word. And he is God. And then Jesus met that chap with the demon. He just speaks a word and the demon obeys him and he leaves. And the people say, "This guy teaches with authority. When he speaks, stuff happens." Here's the point. Jesus' words are powerful. Time for a quiz. Don't bother putting your hand up, but just shout out when you can see what you think lies behind those squares. Don't tell me it's lots of blue squares on the screen. I know that. What's the picture behind? Anyone got any ideas? A horse. You're right. Good spot. Okay, let's have him. This apparently is a Belgian draft horse. It looks like it's been photoshopped. I don't think it has. I think that horse has just been down the gym a lot, possibly juicing. That apparently is the world's most powerful horse, the Belgian draft horse, or some people say. Okay, let's have another picture. Any ideas what's behind that? The world. A fish could be a fish. The thing that I'm looking for takes up a surprisingly small amount of the picture. Space. A rocket, that's right, okay? A rocket. And that whole thing is the rocket, I think, not just the little black bit on top. That is SpaceX's Starship Super Heavy. Apparently the world's most powerful rocket, has thrust of 40 million horsepower, which is probably more than your car. Actually, it's about 20 million of the previous horse we were just looking at. One more. Anyone know what this is? What's behind that? Fruit, yes. Durian, there we go. This is durian. I don't know if you've come across that. This is without doubt the world's most powerful smelling fruit. Banned on public transport in Hong Kong and Singapore, various other places. I read somewhere the smell of durian can linger for several days and is often described as a mix of rotten onions and gym socks. Okay, last one. This one's a little bit different. What's behind there? The Bible. That's right. 10 points to everyone's team. That is the Bible. This book is the Word of God. It is the words of the Lord Jesus. And the words of the Lord Jesus are the world's most powerful words. Starship Super Heavy might be powerful enough to get you to the moon. But Jesus' words are so powerful that they can get you into Jesus' perfect kingdom, free from sickness and evil. What are we supposed to do about that? If we want to be a part of Jesus' new kingdom, free from sickness and evil, what do we need to do? The very beginning of our reading said this. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And if we want to be part of the kingdom of God, we need to repent. It's our sin that means that this world is full of sickness and evil. And so, of course, we need to say sorry for our sin and to turn away from it and to be forgiven of our sin through Jesus' death on the cross. We need to repent and we need to believe in the gospel. We need to listen to the powerful words Jesus is speaking in the Bible. And we need to believe those words. That is how we make sure that we are members of Jesus' perfect new kingdom. We need to believe in Jesus' powerful words. You see, Jesus is the king of a kingdom free from sickness and evil. And we need to believe in Jesus' powerful words if we want to be a part of that wonderful kingdom. And if we're already in the habit of repenting of our sin day by day and listening to Jesus' words and trusting them, if we're already followers of Jesus and members of his kingdom, well, our passage showed us two little details about what our lives ought to look like as we close. Do you remember Simon's mother-in-law? Do you remember what she did the instant that Jesus healed her? Do you remember what the mother-in-law did? She served them, that's right. She got up and she started serving Jesus and his followers. She's a model for us. If we are saved, we serve. And what could you do this week to help a member of your Christian family here at St. John's? Because if you're saved, you serve. And you remember what Jesus said when he called the fishermen? He said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And it was their work, and it's every believer's work, to continue the job of calling people to join Jesus' kingdom. If we follow, we fish. What could you do this week to dangle the good news about Jesus in front of someone who doesn't yet know him? But as we close, here's the big thing to learn from our passage this morning. Jesus is the king of a kingdom free from sickness and evil. And if we want to be a part of that kingdom, we need to believe in Jesus' powerful words. Well, let me hand over to Tom.